You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is Sweet Tea, an hour of radio that celebrates everything LGBTQ plus here in Asheville and beyond. I'm one of your hosts, Jill, and my pronouns are they, she.
And I'm KP. My pronouns are he, him. And today we are going to be speaking with Gary Ross Reynolds, who is a Peace Corps volunteer, a psychologist, nurse, and most importantly, a death doula. As a doula who is gay, he's especially interested in focusing on the end-of-life considerations of importance to the LGBTQ community. And Gary's also a member of the Center for Conscious Living and Dying. That's a nonprofit in Swannanoa, which provides free 24/7 non-medical care to people in their last 2 months of life.
Before we get to that interview and some music, I want to let you know that programming support is brought to you by The Organic Mechanic, located at 568 Haywood Road in West Asheville.
My pronouns are he, him. Death doulas are a fairly new phenomenon. Our numbers have exploded since COVID. But before 1920s, everybody was a doula, because before the funeral homes took over, since we outsourced death, which started happening around the 1920s. Death was not a medical event. It was a home event. It was a social event. And people took care of their dying and their dead. And they knew how to do that.
Wow.
And then we lost how to do that. But in the queer community, with the AIDS crisis in the late 80s and 90s, queer men and lesbians stepped back into that role. You know how to do it. We knew how to do it, and we did it. Mm. We took care of our brothers that were dying of AIDS.
Mm.
Nobody trained you how to do it. You know, it's just inherent in our being that we know how to do that. Typically, among doulas today, probably 97% are women. Mm. But, you know, during the AIDS crisis, most of the people that were taking care of the dying were men. And the other interesting thing that I have a friend who was in San Francisco during that time, he referred to that as the great coming out, because for a lot of men, they were not out. They had moved away from home. They were gay. They weren't out to their families. So they suddenly got sick and were dying of AIDS, and their families found out, and not only that they were dying of AIDS, but that they were gay.
Mm.
So you had that overlay of coming out, along with the overlay of dying from AIDS.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So it was heavy stuff.
Yeah.
I think the gay, the patron saint for gay death doulas is Walt Whitman, who you know, worked with soldiers in the Civil War on both sides, the gray and the blue, and he is a tremendous model for gay men working with people at the end of life.
Hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you brought me back to that time in the early 90s. I was living in Seattle, and I was living with a partner who was HIV positive, and it was before we had the cocktails that we have today, and AZT was the only drug that was available at the time. And yeah, we put some friends to rest. And the organization that he was very much involved in was Shanti. I don't know if you recall.
Yes.
Yeah. And it sounds like what you're doing is a lot of what they were doing back then, which is training people how to welcome death for somebody else.
The other interesting thing along with that is there's a system called the Omega Home Network, which is a system of homes throughout the United States provide free end-of-life care 24/7 to people who are dying. And that was organized, that began as a response to the AIDS crisis, that they needed places where people could die, because at that time, you know, there was such a stigma attached to one, being gay, and two, to AIDS, and people were afraid that they were going to get AIDS just by being in a room with somebody with AIDS. It was ignorance. Partly we simply didn't know. It was a new disease, and we didn't know the parameters of it. COVID provides kind of a model of that. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that we didn't know initially about COVID and a lot of fear around it. Same thing happened then. But so the Omega Home Networks got established. And here in Asheville now, I'm associated with the Center for Conscious Living and Dying, which is a nonprofit that provides free 24/7 care for people that have hospice care and that are in their last 2 months of life. And we have three beds that we will be providing that care in. And we'll also be doing community care for people that we prefer to stay at home when they're dying. Mm-hmm. But it all started, and we're part of the Omega Home Network, mm-hmm. but that all started in response to the AIDS crisis.
Mm-hmm. But you mentioned hospice, and I was curious to know what is the difference between death doula work and hospice care work.
Hospice is medical care. Mm. It's really palliative care focused on the end of life. Palliative care is available to anybody that has a chronic and or terminal condition. But the difference between palliative care and hospice is that in order to be eligible for hospice, you have to have a life expectancy of 6 months or less. So if you have a chronic condition with a longer life expectancy, you can have palliative care. If your life expectancy is less than 6 months, then you would be eligible for hospice care. Hmm. So that's medical. And so all our residents at CCLD, we require that they have hospice care for their medical needs, and mm-hmm. then we'll provide mm-hmm. the non-medical needs.
Got it.
Yeah, and can you say more about the actual components of the non-medical care that a death doula would provide?
Presence would be one of the first things. We're there 24/7. We're there for the resident and for the family. The other thing that we'll do is basically what a nursing assistant will do. Once they get to the point that they are no longer mobile, we'll turn them in bed so they don't get bed sores. We'll change their briefs when they need to be changed. We'll change their bed. We'll bathe them. We'll provide them with food if they're still eating. So it's the day-to-day kind of care, the social interaction. At CCLD, we build a sacred fire as soon as people come there to die, and that fire is maintained until they do die. And a lot of residents, we had a man that was out there that had stopped eating and drinking. And for about the first week, he was mobile and spent a lot of time sitting at the fire. And it was a very healing space for him.
Like tending to his own fire?
Right. Mm. With a physical fire there to sit and contemplate it. Yeah.
And now we're going to tell people how to find that film and some other great things in the Queer Calendar of Events.
Karaoke every Thursday with Terioke at the Getaway River Bar from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Line dancing, country music, and beginning two-step lessons every Thursday at Banks Avenue Bar, Butts and Boots, it's called, starting at 6.
Tonight, if you're looking for support, Transmission is hosting their monthly QT BIPOC.